You awake this morning? Are you enjoying a good summer? Have you had your vacations mostly? We're coming to the end. Before we know it, people will be back in school, vacations will be done, and we'll be back in the grind. And yeah, we're really excited about this new series. We'd love to know what if you could ask Jesus a question, what question would you want to ask him? We'd like to compile these and survey these and then just pick the top 10, and we'll do a series in the fall on questions. I don't know if you saw that movie Risen, but in the movie Risen, it was a beautiful scene where this Roman soldier, one night he wakes up, he sees Jesus, he's the resurrected Christ, and he's sitting up on a mountain in Galilee, and he walks up there and he sits next and he stares at Jesus, and Jesus stares at him, and the Roman centurion, he says, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to ask. I have a lot of questions to ask." If you could have an opportunity to ask Jesus a question, what would that question be? We'd love to know. So think about it, fill it out, and let us know. Would you stand with us this morning as we read from the scriptures this morning? Here's the word of the living God. So we'll stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read from Hebrews 11, and we're going to read from 1 Samuel 17. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak or Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 49. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And this very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Good morning, Lord God Almighty, the God of the heavens and the earth, the Creator God, the Maker of all things. Before you there was nothing, and you're the one that made it all. You are the origin of life. You are the one that designed us. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of Moses and the prophets. And you are the God of a little boy from Bethlehem named David. Lord, you're our God. We've left our homes this morning to come here to worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. We come, Lord God, with questions, and we always will. You are the great rabbi, the great teacher. We ask, God, that you would speak into our hearts this morning. Peel away our pride. Peel away our arrogance. Help us to be open and authentic before you this morning, to seek your face. Holy Spirit, fall on this place and move in your mighty ways within the hearts of people as you draw people to Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would do this glorious day. And we thank you for your love and care toward us. You're a good shepherd that watches over us, and we give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all those that love God would say what? Amen. Amen. Good morning. Hey, Pastor Graham did a good job last Sunday, didn't he? It was really cool to see. It's awesome. By the way, if you're online, welcome online as you're watching us at Woodbridge today. As our brother Mike said, we're a community of people that just want to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And we're all on that journey. Family camp was awesome. We had a great time. We've been doing this series called Heavenly Heroes, and we've kind of been preparing for family camp as we move out of family camp. At family camp, we had an absolute blast. The theme was Heavenly Heroes, and Pastor Vince on Friday night talked about God's calling in our lives, that God calls us to join him in doing great work. And what a privilege it is to think that God would call you to join him in doing something. On Saturday, we talked about the uniqueness of each one of us. We had the opportunity of just pondering the reality that all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're all so different. We're all so alike. We all have two hands and two eyes, but we're so different. Made in God's image, and got to explore and celebrate differences of personality. And then that night we talked about how God just doesn't call us, but he equips us to do work. He gives us power to do God's work. And these powers are described as spiritual giftings that the Holy Spirit gives unto people. And the Bible says that all of us have giftings, and we should seek giftings as we use our spiritual gifts in edifying and lifting up the mission and purpose of Jesus within the church, within the universal church, the local body of believers. 1 Peter 4:10 was our theme verse. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, that we all have giftings and we're to use God's giftings. And we talked about the 32 different types of spiritual giftings that are in the Bible. And then on Sunday, we talked about opportunities to serve. And it was really cool as we talked about the universal church and the local church. This is a local church at Woodbridge. This is a local body of believers. This is a community of people who want to meet, know, and follow Jesus. God's equipped us all to serve one another and help one another. As a matter of fact, at family camp, and we even made the sheet known to you guys here, but we came up with this thing called Volunteer Central, and we asked people as they were exploring, they were like, hey, I know God's called me for higher purposes in my life. I know that God's equipping me, and I can seek God's equipping of me and how to be a better servant of the Lord. And then we have opportunities where people can serve in the church. And so we sat down and came up with like a bunch of ministries, I think 16 of them, of the worship ministry. I mean, if you're here today and you love to serve God in the worship ministry, there's all these different areas of the worship ministry and small group ministries and administration and security teams and there are so many ways that you can use your time, your talent, your treasures, your personality, your passions to serve the Lord. And I just would love to ask all of you to pray over this list and put your name down, because these are great opportunities that you can serve God. It was a great weekend. Sometimes I wonder, why does God choose us to even join him in doing stuff? Can I be straight up and honest? Gabriel, the archangel, or Michael, the archangel, or Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, would do a lot better job teaching God's word today than me. Wouldn't you like to see Gabriel teach this morning? Anyone? I would. I would love to see Michael the archangel and his glowing wings and the angelic beings to sit there and proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Angels would do a lot better job than humans. And sometimes I wonder, God, why do you even choose to allow humans to even join you in what you're doing? But you know what? Sovereign God just chooses to use you and me in joining him. It's not a question of why do you choose this. I think the better question is, what type of people does God choose to use to join him in doing his work? That's the better question. And you know what the answer to that question is? God chooses people that have a heart after him. 3,500 years ago or so, the people of God decided that they wanted their own king, that they wanted to be like the other nations, and they wanted their own king, and the Lord was frustrated with them, and so was his prophet Samuel. And finally, the people, God grants them, says, okay, and they pick their king. And does anyone know what the first king of Israel's name is? Saul. And he was why? He was the tallest dude in the land in Israel. He was good-looking. He was tall, dark, and handsome. He will be our king. And as he adventures out to become the king, he stinks. He doesn't have a heart for God. He's selfish. He's a bully. He dabbles in the demonic. He stinks as a king. And God finally says, that's your pick. Now it's my turn. And his eyes move to a little hamlet in Bethlehem, to a little boy, a lad named David. And David was the shepherd's kid. He was the youngest of the family. He was this faithful, humble, hardworking servant of the Lord who was authentic in his engagements with God at this young age. And as the eyes of the Lord move to and fro, God says, that's my boy. That's the one I want. And Samuel anoints him. The prophet Samuel comes to his house and anoints him as king before all his brothers. And that must have been kind of awesome, by the way. And after Samuel does that, you know what happens to David? Nothing. He goes back to shepherding the fields. He goes back to just doing what he did before. And I'm sure there was interesting dinner conversations. So what was that all about? And he anointed you as kings. That must have been such an awesome, bewildering experience in David's life. But he's back shepherding the sheep. Until Saul ends up going to war with the Philistines and three of David's older brothers get drafted into the army. And as they're there for an extended amount of time, a couple months or so, David's dad summons him and says, take this food to your brothers and to the camp, find out how they're doing, and bring back a report, okay? So little David, one morning, gets up, takes food for his brothers, heads off to the battle lines. The people had been there for about 40 days. This is what the scripture says, what David saw. 1 Samuel 17, 20 through 23. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out into its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up in their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers, hey, how you doing, right? As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine, the champion of the Philistines, came out from Gath, right? Stepped out of the battle lines and shouted his usual defiance. And I love it. It says, and David heard it. David heard it. There's this valley called the Valley of Elah in Israel. And there's a stream that runs through that valley. And you can go there today and you can pick a rock out of the stream. There's one valley and there's another valley. There's a stream. And it's pretty cool to go there because you can visualize the encampments. Has anyone ever seen the movie Princess Bride? Great movie. How many people love the movie Princess Bride? Princess Bride is a great movie. Any youth pastor, if he had a sleep in that night and said, what movie can I show that is actually a movie that I won't go, oops, and have to explain to the parents that you showed them this movie? It's Princess Bride, okay? Great movie. If you've never seen it, you should see it. In the movie, there was this guy called Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant is 7'4". He weighed 520 pounds. Go back to the first picture. Yeah, no, that one. Look at that dude. What do you think? Just keep that there a moment. Andre the Giant was diagnosed with what is called acromegaly. Have you ever heard of this? It's a disorder caused by a benign tumor on the pituitary gland that produces too much growth hormone in a person. Andre the Giant had this, and he just grew to 7'4" tall, 520 pounds. The tallest guy recorded is this guy. Very nice man. Look, now, this is not Photoshopped. This is Robert Wadlow. He was the tallest man that's been recorded at 8'11". He also had acromegaly. This is a family picture, and you can see his dad and his mom and his siblings. Growth hormone, benign tumor on the pituitary gland, causes a person to continue to grow and 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 grow. Imagine a person of this size coming out of a line of battle in the Valley of Elah, whose name is Goliath. He steps out from these armies, and this guy is head and shoulders above everyone else. And as he walks out of the line of battle, he challenges the armies of Israel to a champion battle, to a representative battle. I am the champion of this army. You bring out your champion of your army, and let's fight. And whoever wins, wins. And whoever loses, loses. And whoever loses will be the slave of the winners. And he would come out, and he would, and he actually had an armor bearer in front of him that would carry a shield. I mean, you could get a perspective. There's the armor bearer, and there he is. And he would taunt the people of God and the God of Israel day and night, every day, for 40 days. Hey, people, whose job was it to go out and in the name of the Lord defeat a guy like that? Answer? It was Saul. He was the tallest of the land, right? It was Saul. He's the king. He was the one that was anointed. And Saul's a coward. He isn't going. He's selfish, self-centered, messed up. God's rejected him. And so while the armies of Israel are sitting there, there's no battle for 40 days. 40 days. But on the 41st day, David shows up. David shows up. And he heard this. He heard what that guy was saying in the valley. 1 Samuel 17:26 says, "And David asked the man standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" Do you see where David's eyes are? Do you see where David's mind is? David showed up about mid-morning, people. He's talking with his brothers, and all of a sudden, he hears this cry from across the ravine. Young David looks out across the battlefield and sees this mass of a man encased in armor, shouting out threats against God's people and God. How did that make David feel? He was livid. He was angry. No one talks that way about my God. That's David. God bless David's parents. Can I say that? God bless children's ministry and youth ministry. This young man, David, early kid, he's maybe 13 maybe at this time, right? He had a knowledge of God. God bless children's ministry and youth ministry. God bless parents that raise up their kids in the ways of the Lord. The intuition that this young man would have of Genesis 22. David knows about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua. David knows that there is a God who has chosen a people and a place for his people to live. David knows the heart and the mind of God. So as he looks out over this battlefield, it's like he has spiritual eyeglasses. He can see not just one-dimensionally, but multidimensionally of what was happening in reality in that valley. At a young age, God bless his parents that raised him in the ways of the Lord. God bless all you parents that raise up your kids in the ways of the Lord. David had a knowledge of the scriptures. He had spent time studying and knowing the story of what God was at work and what God was doing. And when he came to that valley, he knew the heart and the mind and the will of God. You want to take notes this morning? Take notes on David this morning. David just doesn't see in the physical realm, people, but he sees in the spiritual realm. He sees bigger realities than what's just happening in the news. David doesn't see a giant. He sees a man taunting God. Wow, isn't that awesome to have that type of perspective? And by doing that, David isn't impressed or intimidated. You see, because that guy is bigger, he's big, but David's God is bigger. That guy looks really powerful. But David's God is more powerful. Has anyone ever heard of Moses in the Red Sea? God can slaughter armies. David sees and he's not impressed nor intimidated because he has this intuition of seeing the bigger picture. And that is beautiful. People that God chooses to use are people who know him and his ways. sees the way he sees, understands God's thinking. They've spent the time in the scriptures to understand the heart and the mind of God. The people that God chooses to use are people like David, who understand the heart and the mind and the thought of God. They have this ability to see a bigger picture, to bring God and his thoughts into their circumstances. David in 1 Samuel 17 has the ability to see beyond the physical and see the real nature of what was going on through the eyes of heaven. And it was a no-brainer to him. That's a special gift, by the way, that takes time to know the heart and the mind of God and to be able to employ that into your circumstances. David had that gift. And I love this next part. This is a beautiful side note, I guess you could say. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." And I love David. His littlest brother says, "Now what have I done?" I almost think there's history in that. It's like, dude, you and I have issues. Now what have I done now, older brother, right? Maybe the older brother's jealous that he got anointed and the older, I don't know. What have I done now? Little David says to his brother in uniform, "Can't I even speak?" I love that. And then he turned away, and that verse is the best. He turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. You want to learn from David this morning? David knew where the battle was and where the battle wasn't. David knew the battle's down there, and I'm not going to fight with you, older brother. David doesn't allow himself to get distracted. He wasn't going to fight with his family. Pastor Graham is famous in our core staff meetings of saying, the battle is to keep the main thing the main thing. We got to keep the main thing. Can you all quote Pastor Graham this morning? We got to keep the main thing the main thing. If we get distracted, the main thing's no longer the main thing. The sideshow's now. You've got to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to help people meet Jesus. The main thing is to help people know Jesus. The main thing is to help people follow Jesus. That's the main thing. The main thing isn't saving the whales. The main thing isn't social justice. When a person meets Jesus, justice will come from them. When people meet Jesus, begin following Jesus, their responsibilities that we have to taking care of this creation will find its place. But the main thing is that people would meet Christ and be transformed from the inside out. That's the main thing, and everything else flows from it. The main thing isn't the homeless. We're not here because we're here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And when I meet, know, and follow Jesus, I'm more sympathetic to the plight of homeless people, aren't you? Because God gives me a different perspective. The main thing, David, I love it. David is not distracted. Okay, Pastor Frank's an old youth pastor. How many times did Pastor Frank have a girl come up to him and say, "Pastor Frank, I met the most coolest guy, and we went out on Friday night, and and he's on the football team, and yay," and you know, and then what would be my question to this young lady who's 16, 17 years of age? Does he follow Jesus? Well, I think he goes to church. That's not what I ask. That's not what I asked. Sweetheart, does this young man that you went out with, does he follow Jesus? Because that's the main thing. Just because he's got big muscles and pretty eyes is not the main thing. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Don't be distracted. Keep the main thing the main thing. David in the valley of Elah, his brother starts trying to pick a fight with him. He's like, he just turned away. I love that. There are so many times I need to turn away. That's not, Billy Graham says that the good is the eternal enemy of the best. The good things can be a distraction to the best things. You've got to figure out what the main thing is and stay with it. David knew that. He knew where the battle was and where the battle wasn't. And I love that in him. And God chooses these people. God, people that know this are effective in following and serving God. So Saul's told, by the way, that there's a dude in the camp that's got enough gumption that he says he can go slay that guy. And after 40 days, I'm sure Saul's like, praise the Lord, finally God's brought someone else besides me. I don't want him to call me. He already did call you, you coward. All right, well, maybe he's brought someone else in. You think Saul's like, good, bring the dude in. Bring in our champion. And in comes a 13-year-old kid around there, a lad. Do you think Saul went, woohoo? He went, aw, stink. This is it? And he quizzes him. Actually, check this out. This is kind of good. It's a good read. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. That's not bad for a 13. That's pretty impressive. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. Hear, David, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Not bad. Where does David get his courage? He learned it all alone before God. He has walked with God for a while, people, and he's seen God at work in his life, and he not only has seen God work in his life, but he has the ability to remember that God has worked in his life. He's been killing lions and bears when nobody else was around. Take notes from David. David's courage is rooted in remembering God's faithfulness in his past battles. Let me say that again. David's courage is rooted in remembering God's faithfulness in his past battles. David, the young man after God's own heart, purposely carries with him the memories of how God has worked in his life. And he carries these with him every day, that God has worked in my life. God has worked in my life. People, he's a human being just like you and me. But he has the ability to focus his heart to remember God, especially when the days are challenging. And that's awesome. He can open his file in his computer and in mind and just remember the working of God. Do you do that? Thought, what are your lion and bear experiences in your faith journey? Can you name them? Can you remember the times when the Lord came in your life and answered your prayers? When you had that lion and that bear, I can name mine. And you've heard my stories. And I love it that we're going to start at growth groups again. You can talk. You need to share each other's lions and bears stories. You got to bring those into the present circumstances and situations. Hey, follower of Jesus, here's a question for you. Do you remember your defeats and forget your victories? Or do you remember your victories and learn and then forget your defeats? David remembers God's victories in his life, and it encourages him to press on into the present. Do you remember the times when God provided for you, when God answered your prayers, when God did a miracle in your life, when God just came over the hill and there he was, and there's your champion? You have to remember these things. David ripped those right out of his memory and said, because my God did this, he will save me here. I love it. God chooses to use people, and the people that are most effective to be used by God are people that have the ability to remember the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in their lives in circumstances, and from that they take courage to press on. These people are effective in being used by God. And the rest of this just reads so beautifully. Let me just read this text to you. 1 Samuel 17 says, "Then he took his staff in his hand." David goes out. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. And this is the one he used. Because after he killed him, he put it back, and 2,000 years later, Pastor Frank found it. So it's very valuable. "Put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine." Listen to this. "Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bare in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.' And then David says to the Philistine, 'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And this very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands.' As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David did what, people? He ran." I mean, he's going for the dude. I would love to have seen, if I could go back in a time machine, this is the day I would have loved to have seen. I cannot believe the faith of this young man. He starts running toward the dude. Whoosh, 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 and he's coming for, and here I come, baby. Woo, right? Wham. And down he goes. And everybody is stunned, except one, David. David knew. He knew. He knew. "I'm taking a trip to Israel next year. You want a stone from that creek? This is the one he threw. There's a few more in the bag that they put back there. It's on our website. It's awesome." See, the most famous battle described in the Old Testament wasn't fought between two armies. It was fought between two people, between a little boy named David and a huge Andre the Giant. God wanted Goliath put down. God was looking for someone to join him in doing this. And for 40 days, the people's choice, Saul, stood there and did nothing. He was paralyzed by fear because he didn't have the see through God's eyes. He couldn't see the battle. He was just a fleshy man. He couldn't see the battle. All he could see was himself. But on the 41st day, a person came that had the ability to see the big picture of what God is doing in history. He had the big picture of knowing where the battle is and where it isn't. He had an experiences with God and knew the faithfulness of God in his life. This young man came to that valley and saw it for what it was. And he goes down. And he defeats the giant. Take notes. Do you want to know what was so great about David? It's this. David knew that this fight wasn't about him. It was about God. That's beautiful. This is not about him. It's about God. Who's the hero in the story? It's God, people. Without God, David would have been cut to pieces. But with God, he's a giant slayer. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, or Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, David's faith was beautiful to watch, man. Through faith in God, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strengths, and who became powerful. A little kid becomes powerful in battle and routed foreign armies because of their faith in God. Has God ever lost a battle? Sometimes I think we think so. Sometimes do you look at the world and think God's losing? Did you all read the news this last week? It's depressing, isn't it? Charlottesville? Barcelona? Did you see how many police officers was killed this last week? In Florida and Pennsylvania? You turn on the news and you gotta wonder, God, are you losing? Has God ever lost a battle, people? King David wasn't just the king. He became the king of Israel and the greatest king in all Israel. And he wasn't just a king, he became a prophet. And what was so beautiful is that David was chosen by the Holy Spirit to write scripture. He became prophetic. And David added to the scriptures that you see on these walls. David in Psalm chapter 2 records through the Holy Spirit years later that the armies of the world were going to assemble themselves before the Messiah, the Son of God, in Psalm 2. It says that these armies come to take their stand against God, to cast off the chains of God, their Creator. In Psalm 2, do you know what God's doing when he sees this? It says he laughs at them. God's not afraid. Can I tell you, God wants you to know he's not afraid today of what you saw in the news this last week. God wants you to know today that he isn't losing anything. God in heaven sees all things, knows all things. For 40 days, I'm sure the armies of Israel were sitting there going, God is losing this. For 40 days, the people sat on that hill, watched this dude come out, and they had to sit there and go, God's losing this. God's losing this. People, he isn't losing anything. On the 41st day, when God moved through a young man, God chooses to work through people. It says in the scriptures, I like this in Psalm 22. Can we end with this? In Psalm 22, I have 7 through 12. It speaks of an encounter between God the Father is speaking about his Son, and then his Son speaking back to the Father, and it's amazing, and it's a messianic passage. It's a passage about a coming of a Messiah. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. I mean, he said to me, you're my Son. Who's God the Father talking to? We know his name, don't we? Does anyone know his name? Jesus. His Hebrew name, Yeshua. Jesus. He said to me, you are my Son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall shatter them like earthenware, like pottery. It's so cool when you go to Israel, there's pottery everywhere. Just pottery. God says the nations of the earth are like broken pottery. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment, King David says. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage or worship to the Son of God so that he may not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in the Son of God, in the Messiah, the Son of the living God. How blessed are all those who take refuge in the Son of the living God. King David, this little kid, got to write scripture later, prophetically, and he speaks about a coming Messiah that was going to come. And this Messiah was going to be the Son of God. And we know, people, that the Messiah did come. And he hung on a cross for you and me to redeem you and I of sin and to reconcile us to the Father. And our sins, which are many, will be remembered no more, because the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the righteous one, took all your shame, guilt upon himself, all your sins, all the stuff that makes God so angry at you as you offend him in word, action, thought, and deed. When you trespass a law of God, you're not just trespassing some piece. You're trespassing the heart of the very nature of your Creator. All the stuff in your life that God turns his head from, it was put on Christ, and he pays your penalty on the cross. The Son of God has come, people. And we read in the scriptures that he will come again. Amen. The Lord wants you to know today he's never lost a battle and he never will. All he wants you to do is trust him. All God wants you to do is to hear his calling for your life. All God wants you to do is to meet his Son and to know his Son, and you to be smart enough to bow your knee before the Son of God and follow his Son, because he's mighty and you don't want him against you. You want him for you. If he's against you, you're in trouble. If you reject him, he will reject you. Pay homage to the Son, because he's coming again. And we're on that valley, and we're looking down going, God, today, are you going to win? God's going, just give me time. You just receive my calling and follow me and let me equip you for ministry and doing what I need you to do. Get involved in God's work. That's what the Lord would say. There is no other name than the name of Jesus. Hey, if you want to be used by the Lord, you've got to have the ability to see the world the way God sees it. If you want to be used by the Lord, you've got to be able to perceive and understand the workings of God and to see what the Lord is about and what God is doing. If you want to be used by the Lord, you've got to protect yourself from being distracted from things that aren't the main thing. Hey, if you want to be used by the Lord, you've got to be people that remember and have a walk and an experience with God as you thirst for righteousness and God meets that. You record and remember these things. If you want to be used from God, you've got to remember that it's not about you. It's about God. This is what this little boy teaches us as followers of Jesus. There is an amazing worship song called There Is No Other Name that our worship team's going to sing for us. And I want you to ponder this song as it speaks of Jesus. And you'll notice one of the lyrics is, he's the undefeated one. Do you know that when he died on the cross, he didn't lose, he won? Because he won you? We're going to sing this song called There Is No Other Name. And as we sing this song, and then we're going to roll into another great song called What a Beautiful Name. So we're going to do homage. The Bible says to worship the Son. We're going to do that on the back half here. And as we do that, I need to tell you that the Lord God Almighty is here. That God is in this place, and the Lord sees you, and the Lord knows you. It says in the scriptures that if you need prayer, to come and seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray over you and pray for the power of God to come upon you. Our Jesus breaks chains, he heals broken bodies, and he sets prisoners free. Our Jesus brings light into darkness and brings clarity into chaos. If you're here today and you just need someone to pray for you, I want to encourage you during these next two songs to come up and receive prayer from us. I'm going to ask for Mike and Pat, my wife Cindy, to come and join me, my brother Mike, to come and stand with me down here. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come down here and receive prayer up in the balconies. I've got Casey and Beth Chow. I got Pastor Vince. There he is, guys, the anointed one. He's up there. And we're just here to pray with you. We are going to worship the Lord. If you're new here to Woodbridge, this is a time where we just worship God. This is our time when we're just going to sing to the Lord. We're going to ask God to stir in the scriptures. So we're going to worship God. Two things are going to happen. We're going to worship the Lord. And if you're here today and you need prayer, maybe you're here today and you got a giant that you need defeated and you need God's power. Maybe you're here today and you're just not seeing right. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I have been so distracted and I need God to help me to prioritize myself. Maybe you're here today going, I am the most selfish person that walks on the face of the planet. Maybe you're here today going, I am totally Saul. It's all about me and what I can get from people. And if you're here today and you're ready to bow your knee to a God that created you and declare it's not about you anymore, that you're going to give your life to following the one who it is all about, that's where your life begins. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So get a life, people. If you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, then you come forward here and we'll pray over you and pray with you, and you can be born again today. All that Jesus did on that cross will be imputed upon you in an instant. In a moment of time, all your shame and guilt and sin before a holy God can be washed away with the blood of Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other name. Check this out.